Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, we want to jump kind of right into this as Israel is saying that they are going to basically have Hamas pay a heavy price for their crimes and what they've been doing. Mm-hmm. There's been 11 ceasefires, and Israel has, you know, been very good and said, okay, uh-huh. We're going to have peace with you again until we can get this thing negotiated and worked out. And Hamas keeps breaking them. Over the weekend, the Iron Dome was able to reportedly shoot down a rocket that was headed towards Jerusalem. And I keep thinking about John Paul Jackson's A Prophetic Word in the Perfect Storm, where the headlines that he received that said, if, and I'm paraphrasing, but if Jerusalem gets hit, Mecca's next. And so, I mean, it just mm-hmm. takes one missile, one rocket to create in the wrong place to really take this to a whole new different level. Let's not forget that what kind of triggered or the tipping point in this whole operation was when three young Israeli boys, one had was American citizen as well, were murdered by Hamas and thrown on the side of the road. And Israel said enough is enough. They had been patiently dealing with Hamas, continually going to the international community. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has given repeated speeches before the United Nations talking about the threat not only from Hamas, but the threat from Iran and their nuclear capabilities and what they intend to do. Iran has been eerily silent during this time. However, we know what we've been reporting, that they've been supplying, you know, Hamas with all kind of weaponry. Mm-hmm. They've discovered all of this, and this continues to happen. This war continues to happen. In fact, they're saying that it could well go into the month of September, which is interesting because we're going to talk about that. Because according to Pastor Dan Livingston of Transformation Church, who is the city director for CUFI, Christians United for Israel, he and a delegation of 50 other pastors with Christians United for Israel went to Israel not too long ago to have a time of solidarity, if you will, to say that we, the church, Christians, we stand with Israel, we love you, and we want to do everything we can to support you. During that time, they met with different cabinet members from the Israeli government, and some of the things that they were told wasn't released to news. We mm-hmm. hadn't heard it. But one of the things they were told was that when they went over, the IDF, Israeli Defense Forces, came over into Gaza, they were able to uncover a whole lot more tunnels than maybe what they expected. And once they were able to get into these tunnels, and, you know, it's dangerous work. You got to. Mm-hmm. They spent $3 million per tunnel, concrete, building material that was meant to build schools and other things that were stolen. Mm-hmm. And they used that money and those resources to build tunnels underground, 59 feet deep, 1 mile long underground.
Wow.
So that they can do terrorist acts, you know, and engage in war.
Mm-hmm.
And so the plan, according to what was shared with him and what he relayed to us and those that were gathered for that meeting, was that once they got in these tunnels, they found out that these tunnels, they had motorcycles in them. They had Israeli Defense uniforms down there. They had all kinds of binding equipment to tie people up. They had all kinds of weaponry. And their plan was on Rosh Hashanah to be able to go in and be able to kidnap people and just set themselves off, suicide bombers. I mean, just go just nuts,
mm-hmm.
If you will. And Rosh Hashanah is coming up September 24th. And just because that this was foiled and their plan was uncovered, doesn't mean that there's nothing else planned towards Israel during this time. CBN has a report we want you to see that you can get up to date on what is happening as we're trying to stay focused on Israel and making sure that we not just stay informed, but we stay prayerful as well. Watch this.
Pat, Prime Minister Netanyahu is promising Israel won't stop military operations against Hamas until it's accomplished all its goals. That statement came after one of Hamas's deadly attacks killed a 4-year-old Israeli boy. Chris Mitchell brings us the story from just outside Jerusalem.
Israel bombed a Hamas command and control center in Gaza over the weekend. It's part of the latest round of fighting after Hamas broke a ceasefire for the 11th time in the month-and-a-half-old conflict. This Iron Dome anti-missile battery shot down a rocket headed towards Jerusalem over the weekend. Hamas has launched more than 700 rockets and mortars at Israel since breaking the ceasefire. On Friday, 4-year-old Daniel Traegerman died in a mortar attack on Kibbutz Nahal Oz near the Gaza border. In another attack, a rocket struck a synagogue in Ashdod. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Hamas would continue to pay a heavy price for what he called the crimes that it's perpetrating. Hamas publicly executed 18 Palestinians it accused of collaborating with Israel. Human rights groups across the political spectrum condemn the executions. Meanwhile, Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas said he plans to unveil what he called an unconventional solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Abbas linked his future with Hamas, despite Israel's revelation last week that the terror group planned to overthrow him.
This delegation includes all Palestinian factions, including Hamas, in order to return to the negotiation table to achieve a long-term ceasefire and to discuss other issues on the negotiation table afterwards.
But negotiations with Hamas remains a non-starter for Israel, since the group's main goals are killing Jews and destroying the Jewish state. Chris Mitchell, CBN News, in the hills of Jerusalem.
Amazing. We get right back from this break. We're going to continue to talk about this unconventional, if you will, plan from Mahmoud Abbas, the chairman of the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank, to position themselves for statehood. It's lunacy, and we're going to talk about it. We're talking about Israel, what's going on with Hamas. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu saying, you guys are going to pay. This is not, we're not going to, you know, no more. It's enough is enough.
No mas.
Which, no mas no, for Hamas. No mas for Hamas. And Mahmoud Abbas, tongue twister here, Mahmoud Abbas, chairman, president, Palestinian Authority in the West Bank, he's saying that he is going to present to the United Nations basically an unconventional plan, if you will, for their statehood. This is something they've been trying to do for some time now. And, you know, to my shock and amazement, Israel's pretty open to it, which is basically giving them their own state in the West Bank. And, you know, Israel has some simple conditions, one of which is that we're going to give you, we're going to break a piece of our bread and give you a piece of bread so that you can, you know, say that's yours from ours. We're going to give you a piece of bread. We just want you to acknowledge that
we gave you the bread.
We gave you the bread, and this is a bread. This is a legitimate Jewish state. This is, we need to acknowledge that. And they refuse to, now you want something from them, but they refuse to acknowledge that. But they complicated the issue when they joined themselves. They partnered back with Hamas, which is a terrorist organization, which is a no deal for Israel. They're saying, listen, you're not going to partner with a terrorist organization and then say, you know, give us a piece of land. I don't think so, especially when, since in 2005, Israel pulled out of the Gaza Strip, took all their people out. And since that time, Hamas has launched over 10,000 rockets into Israel. You know, the first time that happens, you know, shame on you. Second time that happens, shame on me. You know what I mean? And so Israel's like, don't think so. So they're going forward with this thing. And one of their initiatives is to go to the United Nations. And they're actually now trying to, check this out, Pat, they're threatening to prosecute Israel. This is Abbas in the West Bank, to prosecute Israel for alleged war crimes in this Hague International, you know, Criminal Court. Which is just absolutely, you know, it's crazy. It's lunacy. And to think that the world is going to, you know, go along with something like this, and they have. I mean, when they went to the United Nations before to even investigate whether they were going to do this, 17 nations abstained. The United States was the only nation that said no. And to go to 1967 borders, he wants all territory. This is what's being reported by CBN. According to media reports, Abbas plans to petition the UN Security Council to impose a deadline for Israeli withdrawal from all territory outside of the pre-1967 armistice lines to pave the way for a Palestinian state within those borders with Jerusalem as its capitals. This is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I'm going to show you why. There's something we want you to see that shows you graphically that there's no way that Israel can go back to those 1967 border lines, because that would make them indefensible, mm-hmm. and they wouldn't be able to protect their nation. And this is why they're continually pushing these 1967 border lines, of which, by the way, our president suggested that Israel do. Watch this and see the lunacy in this.
Every state has the right of self-defense and to secure borders to protect itself from hostile invasions and terror. Israel is a small state surrounded by Arab countries 650 times its size, some of which are large bases of global terror. Only 44 miles separate between the Jordan Valley and the Mediterranean Sea. After the Six-Day War in 1967, when Israel was attacked by four armies on three fronts, United Nations Security Council Resolution 242 stated that Israel was entitled to new defensible borders to replace the previous fragile lines from which it was attacked. What are Israel's defensible borders? What are its essential security needs? The Jordan Rift Valley, Israel's eastern frontier, forms a natural barrier between Israel and the countries of Jordan, Iraq, and Iran. The Jordan Valley rises from an area that is 1,200 feet below sea level to a hilly ridge of up to 3,000 feet, creating a steep 4,200-foot virtual wall opposite any force attacking from the east. The growing threat of global jihad activity near Israel's borders requires it to prevent infiltrations of terrorists and weapons. When Israel left the Philadelphia corridor in Gaza, it became a highway for the infiltration of terrorists and the flow of hundreds of tons of ammunition and weaponry from all over the Arab world, aimed at Israeli civilians. The Jordan Valley is the equivalent of Gaza's Philadelphia corridor in the West Bank. To defend itself, Israel must retain control over the Jordan Valley. This is Israel's mountain ridge, rising up to 3,000 feet. It dominates Israel's major coastal cities, where more than 70% of its population, 80% of its industry, and all of its airfields and seaports are located. Missiles launched from the Judean hills pose an immediate threat to Jerusalem, Israel's capital. Israel's only international airport, Ben Gurion, would be in the range of even primitive rockets, while all planes taking off and landing would be threatened by shoulder-launched anti-aircraft missiles. More advanced weaponry would be able to hit virtually any point in Israel. If Israel were forced back to the 1949 armistice lines, the Green Line, the country's width would be reduced to a narrow 9-mile waistline that would be impossible to defend. That's why any future arrangement must include Israeli control over key areas of the mountain ridge and a demilitarized Palestinian state. Israel's narrow borders means a combat aircraft can cross the entire country in under 4 minutes. In less than 2 minutes, an enemy plane could penetrate the country's airspace via the Jordan Valley and reach Jerusalem. In order to thwart an aerial attack on Jerusalem, a hostile plane must be shot down at least 10 miles east of the capital to prevent it from crashing into major population centers. Therefore, Israel must be able to identify hostile planes before they cross the Jordan River line and intercept them shortly after. To defend itself, Israel must control the airspace over the West Bank. Israel's transportation arteries, and in particular the Trans-Israel Highway, enable travel and connection between Israel's regions. They also assure the mobility of the Israel Defense Forces in case of attack. Protection of these vital arteries is essential in order to ensure that 1. Civilians aren't victims of terrorist gunfire. 2. Regions of the country cannot easily be cut off. 3.
The mobility of Israel's defense forces is not hindered in the case of invasion. To defend itself, Israel must control its main arteries of transportation. There is enormous uncertainty about future trends in the Middle East. Iran is determined to become the supreme power as the U.S. withdraws from Iraq. No one can guarantee the future of many of the current regimes in the region. Today, more than ever, it is crucial to ensure defensible borders for Israel.
Amazing. There you have it. It's plain to see. We encourage you to forward this to your friends. Understand that when Abbas and others are saying, we're going to turn this over to the United Nations, what you're saying is you're turning it over to the people that are going to go against Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not good. Abbas also, get this, he also envisions diminishing the U.S. role as a mediator between the Israelis and the Palestinian conflict. He wants to diminish U.S.'s role. The only ally that Israel has, he wants to take them out, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just nuts. And then what he wants to do, this goes even further to exasperate the whole issue. Not only does he want to do that, but now he wants to engage the international community. And he says he secured backing. I mean, thank you, Abbas, for securing this backing. But he went out and secured backing from this plan from the European Union, Russia, Egypt, and the Arab League. Oh, really? I'm glad that you went out there and got this backing. Hello, all these folks are against Israel, and it's just not going to happen. We want to make sure that we continue to stay informed, stay educated, but most of all, we want to be able to pray. We want to pray, you know, to God for the protection of Israel and peace to the region, and that no more harm comes to Israel. They're just a nation that wants to live in peace. Mm-hmm. And when you see all of this happening, I mean, you know that it's lunacy, it's crazy, it's not of God, and that we don't want to go back to a situation that occurred in Germany during Hitler's, regime, if you will, because this is where this would like to go, the genocide of the Jews. And once they come after the Jews, guess what? They're coming after Christians next. We need to stand with our brothers and say no mas to Hamas and anybody else, that there's a threat in the security and the safety and the peace of Israel.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.